Thanks for that, Les. It's just a helpful reminder of the sermon's title, Blessing and Disturbance. And that's what we're going to be looking at. How are we blessed by that gospel message? And yet, how come sometimes we just have this deep sadness or this feeling that I'm disturbed because of what I hear, what my friends are saying, what the world is saying? So before we open God's word, let's pray. Ask for the Spirit's leading and guiding. Creator, we come and we give thanks for the gift of this day. Even as just as a church body and denomination, we reflect on this moment in history called the Reformation. We don't need to look any further than the sun rising in the east this morning to know that you're a faithful God. Every morning, your bright light fills this world. Thank you for being that presence that isn't distant, isn't a historical God, but a God who lives and breathes and is a part of our lives today. As part of us taking on your name as Christians, you promise us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we pray for that gift this morning now as we open your word to hear your instructions to us. We pray that the Spirit would fall afresh on this sanctuary, opening our physical ears and our minds, but also our hearts, that your bright light would penetrate the deepest aspects of our hearts today and just show us where we need work, what are the blessings there, what are some of the disturbances within us. And we ask your Spirit to lead and guide us through that moment, not only today for the few minutes that we're here in church, but as we take that out into the world, as we seek to serve you in the many ways we do. We ask your blessing in all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture. We're looking at the Gospel of Luke, just one verse out of there this morning. And then we're also piggybacking that with a verse out of Romans. Romans 12, 1. So Luke 9, verse 23. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and daily follow me. Just let those words wash over you for a second. Then he said to them all, then he said to all of us sitting here in this church this morning, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And then as we jump over to Romans, under the heading of living sacrifices, we have these words. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So far, the reading of God's word. Dear family of our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, I've been in a season of reflecting. And reflecting on how do we see, hear, and experience the gospel of Jesus as church, family, and our communities at large. Now, I had the recent privilege of traveling down south to Navajo land. And yes, they do call it Navajo land. To gain a better understanding of how our Native American cousins were experiencing their relationship with greater American society, but also how the Navajo people were experiencing the gospel on their reservation. Now, for over 100 years, the Christian Reformed Church has had a mission to the Hopi, the Navajo, and the Zuni people down there. And the mission has been Rehoboth, just like we have here. And it was a boarding school Now it's a day school, so the kids are bussed in and they leave at the end of the day. But I thought, as I went to this campus, I thought, wow, this is such an awesome opportunity to see these kids come in, to be brought up in a Christian school atmosphere. That's a real blessing, a real opportunity. And then as I traveled further around on the reservation with the folks I was with, I didn't realize that there were 12 Christian Reformed churches on the Navajo reservation. And I thought, wow, 12 churches. And we began to talk with them and see how God was blessing them and how working through them there in their often remote places. And we see the blessing of the church standing with people. But as our group traveled across the res, and I still had this kind of uneasy feeling began to grow in me, and I'm going, there's something here that just disturbs me. And I couldn't quite figure it out all the time, and it wasn't one specific thing that seemed to be a problem for me. But I kept hearing all these wonderful stories, and yet sort of woven in between that story, there were these stories that were hard to hear. Disturbing stories. And not necessarily horrible things that happen to people kind of stories, or tragic, but just ones that caused me to go to my heart and go, wow, that just doesn't feel good. I need to know and figure out for myself, what is this about? On one of our visits on the res, we went to a young Navajo pastor. And as we're sitting there talking with him, he was a graduate from Rehoboth Christian School. But his story was sad because he did talk about being physically abused in that school. And his struggle now as a pastor who's supposed to be teaching, preaching, love your neighbor as yourself, he still struggled because he still had anger towards this guy, this man who had physically abused him. So he had this blessing of Christian understanding, being a leader in God's church. And the disturbing part was that he still had this anger within him, and he was working that out. And then sort of the heap more burning coals onto that moment in his life, Rehoboth had this 100-year celebration, and they talked about reconciliation, and everything was good. And he had gone to this event, but he came back away from there again feeling empty and hurt because the gentleman who had been his perpetrator wasn't there. And so on one end, he heard this great news about reconciliation and people coming together in the name of the Lord. And yet, he couldn't reconcile in his own life how that was going to work out, because he did want to say something to that gentleman. He did want to confront him. And so it was hard. And then again, another disturbing thing as we were going and listening and talking, he moved away from that story to 12 churches on the Navajo reservation. The church has been there for a number of years, over 100 years working with these folks. And this poor gentleman had to decide whether to pay himself or the heating bill for the church. And it was like a dagger that just shot into me. And I go, we as God's people, how can we let things like this happen? And how could this guy work in that? Because I know I'm well paid for the job I do. Sometimes I worry about lights being on and things like that. But God's faithful. But my own personal money is never touched. I don't have to pay for the lights myself. Mostly in part to folks like you. So this blessing and disturbance, this wrestling with God, God, how come we have this moment of you building something in this land with a people group who's been forgotten and lost in many ways, and good things have come out of that. And yet still these moments of struggle, how come it hasn't grown or gone further? Or why that blessing and disturbance? And just trying to reflect on that all the way back from Albuquerque, New Mexico, back to Edmonton, just wrestling with that. And so where did Scripture take me? I began to reflect and look and just hear some different stories around some different meetings that I was at in Winnipeg. And then Luke. It's not only in Luke. The story is the same in Matthew and Mark as well. But let me read Luke 9:23 to you through Eugene Peterson's eyes. Through the Message. Then he told them what they could expect for themselves. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. What good would it do to get everything you want and lose you, the real you? If any of you is embarrassed with me and the way I'm leading you, know that the Son of Man will be far more embarrassed with you when he arrives in all his splendor, in company with the Father and the holy angels. This isn't, you realize, pie in the sky by and by. Some who have taken their stand right here are going to see it happen, see with their own eyes the kingdom of God. And then as we just read in the NIV, we have, take up his or her cross daily. To follow Jesus requires self-denial, complete dedication, and a willing obedience. What's different about Luke in this passage to the other Gospels is that Luke emphasizes the continued action. He goes to the daily. Constantly, daily. How are we daily working this out? We all claim to be Christians. We all say we're willing to take up that cross. What are we doing daily to lift, to carry? Of course, in the time of Luke and the disciples, a lot of disciples who were from Galilee would have known what the cross meant. Many of their friends, family, had suffered their death on a cross. So it was real to them. They knew that there was a great price, the ultimate sacrifice of death on this cross. We all stand by and we admire and we mourn together our servicemen who lost their lives in the line of duty. Amazing when you hear the stories of a guard inside the building, blocking a door, willingly throwing himself in the line of fire should a bullet come through that door. Are we soldiers of the cross? Are we ready to put ourselves in between and in those difficult places? And then there's the other side. There's sides where we have the opportunity to be those agents to celebrate blessing. Right? Sunday, a chance to gather as God's people to say, God is good throughout the week to me, to my family, to my church family. And in spite of some tough things that happen, my life is pretty good. And taking up the cross seems far easier in those moments of goodness. But again, in Luke 23, the hard part for me was when I got to that reading, self-denial. What does it mean I got to be self-denying? thought God created me as I am, who I am. And now I'm asked to leave that. To not want to put Harold's ideas and thoughts forward. But you know, that self-denial is really important because it gets at the who, what, where, and when of us. Our own lives. And then just on top of that, in that verse, then we have this layer of complete dedication and willing obedience. It's hard. Heck, it's hard for me to take out the garbage some days. Even though I'm constantly reminded, take out the garbage, please, dear. Take out the garbage. Should be a simple act. And yet there's something within me that some days just says, oh, I just, no, I don't want to. The hockey game's too good right now. This and that. Willing obedience to God's call on our life. How do we live that out? We heard one way is through the rock. Ministry of food, which is just awesome. Next to eggs and all those good things, hot dog is still the best ministry tool ever. And food has such a significance because what did Jesus do up in that upper room with his disciples? Take this. Remember and believe. Right? Around a meal, we're asked to remember what Christ did for us and how he lived for us. But it's a struggle, and I'm right there with you. I still don't have all the answers. I don't know if I ever will. But self-denial, how do I get rid of me? I guess we heard sometimes it's better when we get out of the way and let God come through. Look for his opportunities to come through instead of maybe getting in the way sometimes. Just below verse 23, we have 24. And that verse sort of gives us the reason. Why would we want to do all of this? Why should I do that? But it's all about gaining and maintaining our relationship with Christ. And again, it's about God's grace through faith that our salvation is secured. So again, this invitation by God to say, no, come sit with me. I'm right here. Just like I prayed every morning that sun rises in the east. On a sunny day, if I turn my face, I can even feel his touch on my cheek. That's a God who lives with me daily. And he challenges me daily to say, where are you going to be that light today, Harold? So, that's a nice Harold. By grace, through faith, we get our salvation. So what's all this about? That's all we need to know then, isn't it? I guess the short Reformation answer is yes. But here we are today, so far removed from that moment of the Reformation, so far removed from the point of creation. And if you're like me, and I'm getting older, my memory's going, and so some days it's tough to link days, and you know, it's already a new month, and I think about October, and I go, I don't know what I did on October 1st anymore. So my memory is short. And God knows that about us, so he says, Harold, I'm going to give you this. This book, my word, will help you there on those days when you forget. When you have a tough time remembering what you're doing and where you need to be going. Open it up. Read it. Our second passage in Romans. We have that again, where we're encouraged that's living sacrifice. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And during this week, or if you go home later this afternoon, if you look at Romans and the whole first 11 chapters up till we get to this moment of chapter 12, God's been pointing out God's mercy towards us. We have a merciful God who understands when we aren't our best and that we fall back and we make mistakes. But he doesn't leave us there. He always comes and picks us up and says, you know, I'm a God of mercy. I love the poor, the sick, the weak, the widowed. All those things are my heart. Join me in that. Help me with the social outcasts. Help me with my neighbors at work. And when we do look at the life of Jesus, we see that. We see that reflected, even to a moment where Jesus is at, you know, he's on the procession. He knows he's going to die. And Jesus still struggled, just like you and I do, with that moment of how do we commit? How do we go? And there in the garden, he finally says, God, Father, I really don't want to do this. I am struggling with this. But I know it's your will that needs to be done. And then we know we prayed, sweating out blood. We know it was intense. And sometimes I think we need to get to that intense place. We need to be and to find out that real blessing of when we actually listen to God lead us and guide us. Great moments of joy, even in tough and sad moments, in hard moments. This is how Eugene Peterson puts it for Romans 12. Under the heading, Place Your Life Before God. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So when you find yourself in a moment where you're just conflicted or disturbed by what's happening around you, or even how the Word of God confronts you sometime, embrace that. Wrestle with it. I'd had a gentleman before the service this morning talk to me that he had read these passages and done some further reading on his own and come to a revelation that in his whole life he hadn't thought about until this week. So it's good to go and to wrestle and to understand what this word can be for us. In Paul's verse again in the verse 1, the words offer and living sacrifice. You know, it's not only those moments where we have these servicemen who did offer their lives as living sacrifices. How do we get to do that on a daily basis? It's Some days for me, it just might be listening to my wife and taking out the garbage when she asks me. So that that relationship can stay healthy and strong and can grow in a good way. How do we put ourselves in the service of? Service of, so not in the service of Herald or the Edmonton Native Healing Center, but the service of God. How do we do that? And for each one of us, it's going to be different. That's the beauty of it. Because just like when we look at ourselves and our fingertips, there's nobody else in the whole world that has the same fingerprints as me. And that same Creator wove you together in your mother's womb, made you unique, put a call on your life that is unique and different from everybody else sitting beside you. A room full of opportunity, a room full of blessing. It's nice to gather as church family when we have those moments of disturbance and we struggle with who we are and the world around us. And we can gain support from each other and look and study the word together and say, no, this is how we need to react. This is how we need to work together. And then it's also in that, you know, your bodies. Okay, is it just my physical body? But again, in Scripture, we have that parable of one body, but many parts. Use all of your body to serve God. I know sometimes in church, it's hard for us in the Christian Reformed Church to clap, raise hands, stomp our feet, do a little dance. It's not in us. It's not in our culture. And yet, throughout Scripture, we see moments where people who respond to God's word are doing that. They are dancing. They are singing. The call to worship. Use the 10-string lyre. Make some noise for God. With all of our being. Not just our brains. Not just our pocketbooks. All of us. And do so in willingness to the obedience to Christ. Out of a thankful response for all that he does for us and has done for us. Thank you, Jesus. For today, for the work you give me, for the friends I have, for the challenging week that Suzanne had at school. Moments to be thankful because we get to do that as family of God together. So what does that all look like for us here in Edmonton, Alberta, in Canada today? It can't just be, like we read in the passage, a spiritual act, a ritual act. We can't just be satisfied and happy that we gather today on Sunday. It just can't be about a Sunday hour. There's got to be more to our reaction. And that's going to take the involvement of heart, mind, and will. And I know trying to line up all three some days is really hard. Certainly to line all three up with what God wants to do in our lives is difficult. But that's what we're asked to do. That's what we're struggling with. Because that's how our worship will come out for God. It's not just this moment of singing some praise songs, some hymns. Our life needs to be worship. Is that going to be your story that you can say at the end of this week, man, I'm tired of worship this week because we were there. Every day of the week we did something. In all of the things that we do, all of our life, every moment, how do we find God? Where do we see him? How do we accept the blessings that we receive? How do we use those to his good? And those, I think, are sometimes easier, but how do we do the disturbance part? How do we do it when we are conflicted inside and wondering and struggling? How do we find that answer? Out of obedient service to Christ. Follow his example. Take up your cross and walk with it daily. In 1 Peter 2, 4 and 5, these words of encouragement. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Take encouragement. Jesus suffered great rejection, knew he was on a hard journey, but in the end he turned to his Father and said, "Thy will be done. I will take up my cross and let you lead." As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Let that be our thought for this week as we wrestle with and come to understand the blessing and disturbance of the gospel message to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.